love you too, Stank. I hope you enjoyed our little time by there. I'm Strom Carlson, and this is Black Ratchet. And welcome to Be Your Own Telephone Company with Asterisk. Apparently, Alex.net rated this a bullshit presentation. So,
we're quite proud of that fact.
Yes, we're very proud of that fact. See, if Alex.net were actually here, we'd give him the payphone, but I guess he's not, so you lose, Alex, sorry. So, let's get started. Actually, before we get started, I just want to test the phone to make sure that our dial tone's the right volume. So let's get started. As soon as I get these cords in the right places. So, first off, what is Asterisk? What is this damn thing? How many of you have no clue what Asterisk actually is? Sweet. You're in for fun. For lots of fun. What is Asterisk? Asterisk is a free open source PBX that runs on Linux. It is the best thing since sliced bread. How many of you don't know what a PBX is? Phone for friends in the front. PBX is a private branch exchange. It's a telephone system. In case you hadn't guessed, this talk is about telephones. It was originally written by Mark Spencer of Digium back in 1999. It's been upgraded significantly since then. It's now at version 1.0.8 is the stable one, right, Ratchet? 1.0.9 is the stable one now? Yeah, okay.
Is it?
Oh, okay. What? Yeah, we just run the latest bleeding edge version. So, why Asterisk? Well, first off, it's free! And that's the cool part. I mean, a typical PBX for a business will cost you in the five-digit range, just for the hardware. And for the setup, it'll cost you even more. So if you can do this yourself, and this is very easy to do yourself, it'll save you a lot of money if you're running a company. And if you're a hobbyist, it's really cool, because you can set up your own phone network and call each other for free, and we'll get into that. It runs on commodity PC hardware. In fact, this little tiny laptop that Ratchet is typing on right now is our Asterisk PBX for the presentation. There's broad support for VoIP protocols and hardware. It's easy to interconnect with other Asterisk boxes. You can form your own network. It's configurable to do almost whatever you want it to do. So you can tweak it to your needs. You can write your own code to interface with things if you need to. Unfortunately, it won't do your dishes, but it comes close. Yet, we're working on the dish dial tone module. I beg your pardon? 2.0, yes, or 2.0. So, let's get into the hardware of Asterisk. Asterisk will run on surprisingly out-of-date stuff. If you go to voipinfo.org, there's a wiki there with all sorts of information on VoIP, and especially Asterisk. And one of the pages is this page where people post what they've gotten Asterisk to do. They stress test Asterisk on various hardware. Someone running a 133 MHz Pentium 1 with 16 megs of RAM got three concurrent SIP calls going at the same time. And any PC you have lying around will work. Someone posted that they got a 2.4 GHz P4 with 512 megs of RAM to do 790 simultaneous calls. So you'll hit your bandwidth limit far more quickly than you'll hit the limit of your hardware. You can do, you know, here's a simple sample Asterisk installation. This is actually my rack behind my desk at home. So there's my Asterisk box in the corner. Thanks. I get told that a lot. And I beg your pardon? Yeah, I did get the rack at Costco, actually. So there's the Asterisk box chilling next to my mail server, my web server, my NAS box, and everything. There are Sun machines here. Asterisk is running on the PC, but people have gotten it to work on Sun machines running Linux, and I think someone got it to run on Solaris running on Linux, on Sun hardware as well. So, yes. They all work. We'll have a Q&A session at the end, so we'll do that. There are many methods for connecting your telephones to Asterisk. You can get either an IP telephone, or you can connect regular analog telephones to Asterisk. There are IP telephones you can buy secondhand on the market. They're not all that expensive. This is the Cisco 7960. This is an IP phone. You can get those for about $250 online. In fact, I looked on eBay. I think I saw them going used for $150 now.
If you look for deals, I've gotten one for $120. That's as low as they go right now in current market conditions.
There's the... go ahead.
You don't want to know what I had to do for that.
There's the Polycom IP600, which is considered the other really good phone. These two are considered probably the premium VoIP telephones, and that's $250 online on eBay. There are crappy telephones you can get. You can get the Grandstream Budget Home 100, used about $40. It's roughly equivalent to that $9.95 phone you buy at the drugstore that falls apart before you even get it home. But it's a VoIP phone, so if you need just a cheap VoIP phone, that'll work. And right in the mid-range, there's the SNOM 190, which is about $150, $175. The prices have come down since we threw these slides together. And, I mean, there are hundreds of manufacturers making phones for Asterisk and just VoIP in general, so you can look around and find all sorts of stuff. Most VoIP phones are built the same. We'll get into that, actually, in the protocol section. So I'm actually going to ask you to hold your questions until the Q&A session at the end, and we'll have a queue at the telephone over there for you to ask your questions via telephone. You know, the cool stuff's coming later. You can also get little terminal adapters if you want to plug your analog telephones in. You can buy one from Digium that speaks Asterisk's native protocol called EEX, and that's called the EEXI, and I think I have one here. Somewhere. Actually, it's in the... where did we put the blue box? No, the... yes. Here. It's in my swag box. We're giving away swag later, so get your dialing fingers ready. This is the EEXI, little tidy thing. You plug in an analog telephone in one end, and you plug your Ethernet connection in the other end, and your analog phone is now a VoIP phone. This is $100. You can also get the Sepura SPA2002. We've got those here running, and these are about $70. You can plug two Vanna Ratchet. There's these speak SIP instead of EEX. You can plug two analog telephones into these. You get two dial tones, and that's about $70. You can get the Grandstream Handy Tone 286 for about $65. That only does one, I think, that speaks SIP. And the old Cisco ATA 186, which is the one that Vonage used to send out, is about $50 online. You can also, there's tons more of these. There's one, the adapter that Packet 8 used to send out, the DTA 310. You can find those about $30 used online, and although you can't really get them working as they are, you can reflash the firmware and they become just generic SIP adapters. There's details for that on my website. So you can also buy something called a Zaptel card, and these are cards you put in your Asterisk box, and you connect analog telephones and telephone lines to these cards. The one on the top is the TDM400P. That has four little modules on it. You can select either FXS, which are dial tones, or FXO, which are telephone line interfaces, and put them on the card and arrange them any way you like. The bottom one is a T1 card, and you can. There are two versions of it. There's the 405 and 410P, and the 406, 411. The 411, 406 are have echo cancellation built into them. And so you can bring four primary rate ISDN interfaces into that and have 96 channels of voice going out of your Asterisk box. Or, you know, if you've got a whole bunch of analog phones, you can get a channel bank and plug the channel bank into the T1 for your stations, so you can have, 96 stations running off of one Asterisk box with four channel banks. So, why aren't you talking, Ratchet?
Oh, okay.
Let's get into some of the protocols that Asterisk uses to talk to the network.
Those are really hard to find, in my opinion. I mean, I've looked for them because I thought they were really cool, but I could not find them anywhere. I mean, I searched eBay for about a week, and I finally gave up in frustration. Oh, that's true. Okay, for those who didn't hear, that's me. It's apparently the Linksys PAP2 is the same way as the Sapura 2000, and they can or can't, except for cannot be flashed to firmware. Anyway, getting back to interconnecting Asterisk. Well, let me go adjust this. The main protocol for interconnecting voice over IP calls is called SIP. It stands for Session Initiation Protocol. And it's a session, so it's a signaling protocol only. It only signals and sets up calls. What it does is it, you know, contacts your box and say, hey, I have a port call for you. You might want to connect to it. It's on this IP address. At which point, it connects to the IP address with a protocol called RTP, which stands for, what does it stand for?
Real-time transport protocol.
Real-time transport protocol. It was developed by the IETF and not ITU. It uses URLs instead of telephone numbers. For example, you won't connect to 311-555-2368. You'll enter it into, you'll say SIP, you know, stromcarlson.com, which doesn't work. I've tried. It's intended to be a peer-to-peer protocol. And it's not like, you know, a general server. It's supposed to, like, my box connects to Strom's, and, you know, it doesn't actually have to connect it. It doesn't have to contact anybody for it to work. There's certain caveats to that. We'll get into those later. The main advantage of SIP is that it's very ubiquitous. It's supported by everybody. If you talk about VoIP, anything post, like, 1998, it uses SIP. You know, Packet 8, Broad Voice, you know, essentially, all the major providers use SIP, with the exception of AT&T called Vantage, to use another protocol, which we'll cover later. Does not play well with NAT. It's very hard to actually set up with NAT. You have to start poking holes in your firewall for the RTP. And, for example, if you start, you know, connecting out to another box, say I'm behind NAT and I try to call Strom, it'll say, oh, connect to my box. I'm at 192.168.0.252. And Strom's box will go, what? So there's a lot of workarounds for it. What you have to do is you have to tell it to, you know, this is my external IP address. Use this for everything. You know, don't care about whatever your IP address is. However, it's, in my opinion, it's a bit of a kludge. The other protocol, before there was SIP, there was H323. It was developed in 1996 by the ITU. It's really far more signaling to traditional protocols that are used by telephone networks, not as opposed to SIP. Like, for example, SS7 or something. It's more similar to that. Again, it uses RTP for media transport, and it's used internally a lot by inter-exchange carriers. And it's very unpopular in the VoIP world because it is a bear to set up, and it's, like I said, a major pain in the ass to get working correctly.
Hold on. Yeah. Although, by the way, although this is a telephone talk, please turn your ringers off. Thank you.
Come on, I figure that's discriminatory in cell phone users. We actually were hanging, Strom was hanging out in Pound Asterisk one day on irc.freedone.net for anyone interested. And Jerzer, who's one of a major contributors in Asterisk, made the following quote, just don't use H323 and all your problems will be solved, which technically is correct. Now, for Asterisk, there's a main protocol, and as you can tell, it's, you know, it's based on Asterisk. It's called Inter-Asterisk Exchange. It was developed by Mark Spencer of Digium, the guy who wrote Asterisk, and it covers both signaling and media transport. It's a very streamlined, very simple protocol. What Mark wanted to do is he wanted to, you know, took a look at SIP, took a look at H323, and said, boy, these are crap. Let's go design my own protocol. Does not suffer from NAT traversal issues. For example, I'm behind a firewall, I call Strom, and, you know, it knows that where I'm coming from, it, you know, it knows where to connect. It doesn't actually, you know, say, hey, I have an IP address here, which could be wrong. Data signaling happened via UDP on port 4569. That's the only thing you have to open up in your firewall as opposed to RTP, which I think you have to open about 15,000 ports for. Very well supported by Asterisk. Duh. However, the support and terminal equipment is very rare. The only ATA that supports it is the ICSI by Digium that makes it. I've also noticed that one phone recently started to support it. I think it's called a NetWeb 302. It's actually made in China, and the only place you can get it is someplace in Delaware. Ooh, telephone. Could you shut off your ringer, please?
I'm testing for later.
The nerve of some people. Let's see, where was I? It's a per protocol for many PSTN termination providers because, you know, a lot of PSTN termination providers, they use asterisk. It all works. Just set it up. It's fire and forget. I think I set up one of my accounts about a year ago. I haven't touched configuration since. It just works. The other protocols are the Media Gateway Control Protocol, MGCP. That's the other protocol I was talking about. It's used by AT&T Call Vantage. I'm not sure if they still use it, but they did. I had bought an old ATA on eBay, and I had to reflash it and do all kinds of annoying things to actually end up working with asterisk, but the support is there. The other thing is Cisco's skinny client control protocol. It's used by Cisco phones. This actually uses SIP. This doesn't use a CCP right now.
You can choose with the Cisco phones to use either SIP or SCCP. There are different firmware images.
Not all Cisco phones support SIP. For example, I have an older version that was made in about early 2000s, and it only uses SCCP. There's support for it. It's not the best in the world, but it works. I mean, I can only have one line on the phone, and three-way calling is an issue. I try to flash over and the box crashes.
There are two different SCCP implementations for asterisk, and they both kind of suck.
CHAN SCCP 2 doesn't suck as bad. But CHAN skinny...
But that's kind of like being the tallest midget, so...
Yeah, exactly. Since Strom is the codec Nazi, we'll just sort of choose this one for him.
I'm a codec Nazi now, in addition to being a spelling and grammar Nazi. Wow.
It's a compliment.
So anyway, basically, there are many different codecs that you can use to encode voice with asterisk. And we're going to go over what they are, what they do, and what they sound like. In order to understand codecs, you need to understand how digital audio works. How many of you don't really know how digital audio works? Okay. Well, I didn't see too many hands go up, so I'll kind of go over this quickly then. Basically, you have an analog waveform, and this is divided up into a number of little slices of time. This is called so you have an analog bunch of different a sliced up bit of analog audio. These are pulses of analog amplitudes called pulse amplitude modulation. So you've got time division, but it's still analog. What happens is these values are then quantized into digital values, and this is called pulse code modulation. PCM is what you use when you talk on a telephone, on a regular telephone call, and it's also what you hear when you play a CD. So what happens is the values are quantized between 1 and negative 1, so depending on how much resolution you want to give to the values, you can specify more. The way Mu Law works, what Mu Law is the companding scheme that the analog telephone network uses. Whenever you make a regular long-distance call or a regular local call, you're using Mu Law. It's 64 kilobits per second. And what happens is it's a logarithmic scale. So more resolution is given to the lower amplitudes where most of the voice frequency is in order to give you the impression of 16-bit audio. What actually happens is it's only 8-bit audio, but it sounds far closer to 16 because of the companding. But however, for some people, 64 kilobits a second is still way too high for bandwidth. They're greedy and they want to, or they have less bandwidth and they want to be able to send phone calls over less bandwidth. So there are many different ways of compressing this already compressed audio. Adaptive differential pulse code modulation. Well, first, differential pulse code modulation uses 4 bits to describe the change from the last value. What Mu Law does and PCM does is it actually describes each value individually. This one, it says, go down 4, go up 2, and so on. Regardless of the original source resolution, regular DPCM just uses 4 bits. Adaptive differential PCM uses a varying number of bits, depending on the complexity of that sample, but it's still 32 kilobits a second, so they have to scrim somewhere. It sounds almost like Mu Law, but not quite. There's also LPC, and this is the basis for a lot of what you find in cell phone codecs. It's linear predictive coding, and it basically, it's pretty complex, but the basic thing is that it uses vocoders to compress speech. And it tends to work pretty well for speech, but there's a lot of electronic music nowadays that has the vocoders that have the singing synthesizer effect in the song. So, actually, if you listen closely to talking on a cell phone, you'll begin to hear that. And you can actually use all these codecs with Asterisk and VoIP. So, again, voice on the PSTN is 64 kilobits a second, synchronous bandwidth for wireline telephones. North America uses MULAW companding. Most of the rest of the world uses ALAW companding, which is almost identical but slightly different. But for all intents and purposes, they sound exactly the same. If you're at 64 kilobits, if you're doing something called bit robbing, which is basically to give you a supervision in band on one of the digital channels, you get 56 kilobits a second. But for the most part, it sounds the same. On mobile phones, you only get 4 to 13 kilobits a second for your voice, which is why mobile phones sound so horrible. So, speech compression does have a lot of costs. First off, if you're running it on your Asterisk box, you have to transcode from MULAW to the codec. And in order to be able to hear it, you have to transcode back from the codec to MULAW. So there's an increased CPU load that's required. That box that does 790 simultaneous calls, if you have it do GSM or one of the lower bandwidth codecs, I think that drops down to maybe 100 simultaneous calls. There's no guarantee that two pieces of equipment will speak the same codecs. A lot of times, like the Sepuras speak MULAW and then G.726, I think, and then some of the other codecs. But
yes. Boy, I think we're going to have to keep track of whether this is on or off.
But the
thank you.
But I think the EXE only speaks MULAW. And there are things that just speak certain codecs, and it's a mess. I mean, there's no guarantee that any pieces of equipment will be able to talk to each other unless you use MULAW. Some codecs require licensing. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention. If you're using non-standard bit rates for some of these codecs, then you're really in trouble. Some codecs require you to pay licenses to use them. There's a codec that, actually, we'll get into that in another slide. And codecs don't handle all kinds of sounds well. People will generally have trouble understanding certain words. A friend of mine says that every time he calls up a restaurant to make a reservation, they cannot understand the word north. It's always interpreted as something else from his mobile phone. No one ever gets north right. It's difficult to understand anyone who has poor diction because these are designed under the assumption that people who are using them tend to enunciate well. And music on hold in codec land is absolute torture. You can gouge your eyes out if you really want to. I mean, I want to do that every time I'm on hold on my mobile phone. It is that bad sometimes. There's one we'll demonstrate that is that bad.
There's a documented case in Arkansas. Apologies to anyone from Arkansas here.
Here's the benefits. Each call uses less bandwidth. That's it. I wish there were more, because that slide looks really empty, but that's it. Here's what Asterisk supports. G.711, which is 64 kilobit per second MULAW or ALAW companding. G.726, which is 32 kilobit per second ADPCM. G.729, which is 8 kilobit per second CSA SELP, which is conjugate structure and algebraic code-excited linear prediction. That requires a license from Digium to purchase. We're going to demonstrate that codec later. And just in order for me to be able to call Ratchet's box and have one telephone conversation over the codec, we each had to pay $10. And that's only for one call. So if you want to have more than one call using this codec, $10 a call for the licenses. Not per instance. Simultaneous calls. So if you only buy 5 licenses, you cannot have more than 5 simultaneous calls running on that codec. No, if it were $10 a call, I think no one would use this thing. It would be like being back in those days.
Or if it was developed by Microsoft.
There's the Internet Low Bandwidth codec, which is a 13.3 kilobit per second linear predictive coding. This is what Skype uses. And, I mean, I've heard people rave about Skype. I hear it just like ILBC. There's also Speaks, which is an open source codec. I think it's based on like the Ogg Vorbis stuff. And that's also 13.3 kilobits per second code excited linear prediction. And finally, for those of you who are like on dial-up, there's LPC-10, which is 2.4 kilobit per second. It sounds more ghastly than you can possibly imagine. Yes, that's the one. So in order to do a comparison of all these codecs, we figured we'd play some audio for you using each of the codecs. And so I decided, you know, I could do just talking, but that would get boring after about 25 seconds. So as proof that you can find anything on Craigslist, I found this song that this band let us use for free. So apologies if it's not up to your musical standard or your musical taste, but it's free, so be happy.
I like it.
I like it, too.
It gets stuck in my head every time I hear it, and it's really annoying when he uses this version.
Yes. Oh, wait, so let me cue it up here. Okay.
If they ever get a recording contract, buy their album. We'd promise we'd give them a plug.
Yeah, we promise. Also, if you really, really like the song, I think there's a copy on your asterisks, not on your asterisks, on your DEFCON CD. Also, on your DEFCON CD, there's the full copy of that song and every codec we just demonstrated, so you can listen to them and compare for yourself.
We won't be responsible if you listen to the whole thing in LPC-10.
Yeah. So let's talk about getting Asterisk to talk to the real phone network, because this is all fun and cool, but it's going to be kind of limited in use if you can't talk to, you know, your mobile phone or your mother or the store down the street. There are various providers that that you can use to terminate to the public telephone network, and we're going to go over some of them. One of them is called Newphone. Newphone, well, you don't know more about Newphone than I do. Why don't you tell them?
The plus about new phones is that they have cheap rates, not as cheap as some other voice over IP providers, but pretty decent rates. They're very geared toward Asterisk. I believe they support the step only after a nice public outcry, saying, you know, I want to use this with my, you know, Sakura or for some other ATA. One of the things that I like about them, and the reason why I chose them as my first provider, is they can set your caller ID outbound, which has some interesting, you know, applications to it. We'll cover that later. And also the really cool features. They have insanely easy provision 800 numbers. I never thought anywhere in my life I would ever have 5 800 numbers to my name, but I do. Seriously, you click them and they send you an email saying, here's your 800 number. You can actually do vanity 800 numbers for them. Like, oh, we wanted to buy 800 Aster Y's S. I don't know how many characters is it.
I've forgotten how many 800 numbers I own.
Anyway, it takes a little longer for that, and they charge you a fee, but, you know, for any old 800 number that you want, it's just, you know, poof, it's there. They're very easygoing. When I first set up my account with them, I'm not sure how they do it now, but when I first set up my account with them, I said, oh, you know, okay, I'll PayPal you, you know, X amount of money. What happens when that runs out? Are you going to shut off my service? He says, no, we'll just send you a reminder email, you know, we'll just, you know, send you an option. We won't turn off your service or anything, just send us some money. They also have something called call and party number for delivery. How many people are familiar with SS7 and the difference between CPN and CID? Oh, good about being a few. Anyway, CPN is sort of like caller ID on steroids. It's a little more truthful than caller ID. It's actually 9 times out of 10, unless you know what you're doing. CPN is usually very truthful, and you can't change it. Of course, you know, my friends up here are probably laughing at it. It's like it's caller ID on steroids. It's a little more truthful, and it's harder to set, theoretically. It's also has, quite recently, they have a proper call completion process. Now, for the longest time, what would happen is, you're like, you know, your call did not go through, or you hit an intercept, say, like, you know, the number you've been calling has been changed to so-and-so. It wouldn't actually reflect that. And for someone like me, who's phone freak and enjoys calling intercepts, it was a bit of a bummer. But, you know, a couple months ago, they actually turned it on. I called a payphone out in Boston, and I got, you know, didn't accept incoming calls. And I got incredibly excited when I heard the Verizon voice saying, the phone number you've reached does not accept incoming calls. And I literally hung up the phone and called him and said, new fund does proper call completion. And we were jumping down like excited Japanese two girls on meth. It was very exciting for me. Cons is that direct info dial numbers, which are basically numbers you would call on, you would set up on the PSTN, so mom, dad, you know, your sister, someone who doesn't have asterisk can call you and actually reach you on your VoIP line. The only numbers they have are in Michigan, which for me I guess is okay because no one really calls me on VoIP besides Pam. And they're also not too freak friendly, despite being very easygoing. For example, during Strom and Lucky 225's presentation last year on Freaking in the Age of Voice over IP, was it?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
They sent them a cease and desist letter saying...
No, they didn't send me the cease and desist letter. Who did they send the cease and desist letter? Was it not there up here? Yeah.
Not there. Stand up.
Here's Mr. Cease and Desist.
This is the man who's on Jeremy... This is the man who was on Jeremy McNamara's shit list for that weekend, who basically said, you know, if you do this, I will terminate your account and ban you for life from New Phone.
I haven't heard a peep out of them.
Okay, we're just going to... Oh, they stopped carrying CPN this week? Oh, great. Wonderful.
So maybe Jeremy
is
just aware of
them. This is what we did. And, you know, gee, do you really think he doesn't trust us for sending cease and desist letters? I don't know. Astralink, this is okay. We used to like Astralink until this weekend.
Yeah, Astralink, for the most part, for me, has been reliable, although this week has been a whole other bag of worms, which we'll get into later in the talk. You can get your inbound termination via toll-free numbers, and it delivers ANIII. How many people do not know what ANIII is? ANIII is class of service, so you can tell whether your calls are coming in from a landline phone, or a mobile phone, or a payphone. What type of payphone? You can see whether your calls are coming in from a prison, too. And Astralink does also proper call completion. So you know, if you get the MSN recording, the number's been changed, you can actually hear that. The cons, the account management interface is a little kludgy. It's actually gotten better. I was actually able to use it with Firefox for the first time this week. But I haven't tried it in a while, so how long it's been. But it kind of didn't quite work right with Firefox. And right now, at least, they're experiencing X2 jitter problems with some customers, namely us.
This is why we don't like them anymore, among other things.
Yeah. So we'll get into our beef with Astralink later. There's also VoiceCall Connect, which I use for some of my inbound numbers. They give you a local number in almost any rate center you want. You get unlimited incoming minutes on inbound Eeks calls. And you have inbound numbers in a large number of rate centers. And there's also called the proper call for progress. I just said rate centers. The problem is it's one of the most expensive Eeks providers for outbound termination. Newfone is about 2 cents a minute. Astralink is also 2 cents a minute. VoiceCalls Connect is, I think it used to be 2.9 cents a minute. Then they dropped it down to the low, low price of 2.47 cents a minute or something like that.
Wow, sign me up.
And, I guess, when your regular landline long distance is 5 cents a minute, like mine is at home, this may all seem incredibly cheap. But when you've got providers that do 1.3 cents a minute, and the other thing is that inbound numbers with VoicePulse Connect sometimes use the ability to pass touch code. My number that's on my business card is a VoicePulse Connect number. And for some reason, usually I have to go to a menu. You know, thank you for calling the Strong Call. Yeah, Strong, dial 2, play our touch code game, dial 3. And I had someone trying to call me, and they kept pressing 2, and they would just hang up on them. Because my PBX never worked 2. So I had to make it route directly to my mobile phone this weekend. This is the first time it's happened to me, but some people have been having major issues with it. So if you're really unlucky, you're totally screwed. There's VoiceJet, which is really cheap. It's 1.3 cents a minute. The only problem is...
I think it's 1.29 now.
Oh, is it? Wow. A whole mil they dropped it.
Hey, it adds up.
Yeah, it does. Caller ID delivery is unreliable with VoiceJet. You oftentimes get the number of your outbound trunk instead of the number that you set it to. There's no incoming service that's outbound only, and there's no proper call completion. If you call a number that's been disconnected, and the phone company at the terminating end says, this number has been disconnected, all you'll hear is the phone ringing and ringing and ringing. So you'll never know why your mother has changed her phone number, and you'll just say she hates you.
She doesn't love me!
Exactly, see? All these other stuff.
That's because we all use LPC10.
There's also a company called BroadVoice. They have cheap PIDs in most race centers. After your initial account, the PIDs are like a couple bucks a month.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. They're pretty much run by phone freaks. In fact, when you sign up and if you have them send you the kit with the ATA and everything, they also send you this little pin, which is this logo, but it has a red circle and the slash through it.
I actually found out this weekend they also do T-shirts.
Yes, yeah, so at least one person here at DEF CON is walking around with the BroadVoice T-shirt with the Bell logo and the slash through it. So if you're that person, please stand up and get some applause. He's not here? What the hell?
They lose.
You lose. We were going to give you just like, $100 for coming, but hello.
They were going to get the payphone, too.
The problem with and the other cool thing is that they have caller ID with name for inbound calls. Most of these other carriers will just deliver the number, but these people actually do a name lookup and deliver the name for you. So you receive not just the 311-555-2368 is calling you, but that is, Mabel's fish restaurant. The problem is that it's SIP only. So if you want to do Eeks termination or if you're behind a firewall or something, you've got to do some sort of Eeks proxying if you want it to be reliable. They're prone to service outages. I've got, my dial plan is a 1+ a year service number. It just goes over BroadVoice because it has an unlimited plan. And, but sometimes it doesn't work. Phone support is kind of slow, although it is 24/7, so I guess if you call 3 a.m., they will answer like that.
No, they won't.
Yeah, I try. They'll have to wake up first, and then they'll, drink their coffee, then answer. And then the other thing is CNAN delivery is also unreliable, so, caller ID name tends to work, but it doesn't work all the time. So, now let's get into building your Asterisk network. Why don't you explain me, Ben? Ratchet?
Okay, Brandon. Enum was the first way to actually translate code numbers over to URLs in SIP. It's based on DNS. It allows any number to be queried, and what it is each telephone network saving money. So, for example, you know, I know that 311-555-2368 is a VoIP number. I'm going to do that rather than my landline. Now, it's designed by the ITU. It's supposed to be used by telephone companies. However, there's a program out there. This is the largest one. I may be wrong. It's called E164.org. It's a free do-it-yourself solution. What you do is you register your number, and you register it to a URL, and then when someone queries their email server, you get the URL back and they connect to you rather than over the internet, rather than their online. They have over 350,000 numbers registered, which sounds like a lot, but then you realize that a local exchange, like 311-555, only has 10,000 numbers, and how many exchanges do you have just to make them not pay your phone?
I think in an area code, there's a maximum limit with all the reserved prefixes, something like 7.2 million numbers. And Los Angeles has how many area codes now? So,
a lot. They also have 78 million special PSTN services, which are essentially someone decided to offer free termination 800 numbers, which is handy. Basically, if you don't want to actually use a PSTN termination service, you can use this and you can dial 800 numbers because they're free. How E-Number works?
I left it in my car.
Lovely.
It's in your car. What's your car? Everything's in my car.
Okay, if we all pay attention to the top, basically I'm at the top telephone and I want to dial 311-555-2368. Oh, yeah.
Touchpads, marvels of modern technology.
Yes, latest thing in from Japan. Where I'm at this telephone, basically I want to dial 311-555-2368. So I pick up my handset, dial it, and it talks to my GPS and says, okay, I want to dial 311-555-2368. Connect me there somehow. So what I set up my PBX to do is talk to an enum server. And it says, hey, do you know what 311-555-2368 is? And it either says, you know, yes or no. And essentially, in this example, it says, yes, it's Bell at telephone.com. So it registers that to my PBX, at which point my PBX goes, ooh, I guess I'll go over the internet for that one rather than picking up a local line. And it goes over the internet and it dials 311-555-2368 down here, which is also Bell at telephone.com. But also completely bypassing the PSTN. Enum is a very has a lot of problems in my opinion. It's a very top-down way of looking at things. It's centrally managed, centrally served, and centrally centralized. Basically, it's they want to develop it exactly like DNS and have 15 root servers all over the world, which is great, but no one actually has done it yet, except for like E164. And it's not being used by any PSTN provider, as far as we know. Someone want to tell me otherwise? My idea is, why should they save you money? You know, I can charge you 5 cents a minute for calling Eastern Bandwidth. And it's nowhere near critical mass yet. I mean, E164 is a really nice solution. It's starting to get there, but at the same point, 7.2 million numbers, 350,000, not a hell of a lot. It's a drop in the bucket. Enum was cool, and
something like that, yeah.
On the last April, what someone came out with, designed by the good folks at Digium, which stands for Distributed Universal Number Discovery, and it's basically designed by the folks at Digium, therefore it has to be good. I mean, they call it disastrous, right? It's a fully peer-to-peer E164 solution. Basically, I don't query a single server, I query the two nodes next to me, and they share two genomes back to them, et cetera, and it allows you to easily set up your own telephone network with friends. And basically, it's build your sense alternative to E164.org and, waiting for your telephone company to implement E164 itself. But here's essentially how Dundee works. Basically, we have it's a very interesting peer-to-peer setup. It's a lot like Newfoundland, which we also cover in this one. There's lots of problems with Dundee, in my opinion, also. Requires everyone to be honest. I mean, essentially what I can start doing is I can start advertising, hey, all the numbers of the White House, send them to me. So I can, you know, accidentally start World War III by dissolving the Kremlin. Scalability is a bit of an issue. We're not sure how it's going to take off yet. It's still relatively small, but I foresee someone brought up to me, well, it's small like Nutella. Look how many problems we had with that. It's not officially a standard yet. We submitted to IETF, but as we all know, standards cost money, and these people don't have it yet. Right now, it's only officially in the CBS head version of Astro, and we have to pass the field and submit to a real version. Right? It against 109 or 107 or whatever it is, and get Dundee support in it. And my opinion, it will look fine. And also, in my opinion, I think the Isle of Wight is cheaper. I mean, purple should be nice. Quality of service, also, again, who knows how it is. What a quality of service is to ensure the quality of your bandwidth for your phone call going out over your whatever your WAN pipe is. Like, for example, I don't have quality service on my WAN, and when I would start downloading something, or for example, my sister starts downloading something, my call quality goes to hell. It's something like really bad 3 months ago. There's two ways of doing it.
What do you do?
Yeah, on your phone, though.
Yeah,
okay, we'll take over.
Sorry, I forgot to dial something in my PBX earlier. Basically, there are two ways you can use QoS. There's priority queuing, which you give VoIP packets priority over any other packets going to your network. And there's bandwidth shaping, where you can, you know, where you can basically say, reserve this amount of bandwidth for VoIP and everything else gets the rest of it. Or this amount of bandwidth for everything that's not VoIP and the VoIP gets the rest of whatever. I'm sure there are people more about that than I do. I'm a phone person, not a router person. Many residential routers are now VoIP aware and will do the sort of thing right out of the box. And you can also tweak the router to do it if you're a control freak or if you want to do it on a larger scale than you're doing on that router. Alright. I've got a Cisco router at home, but I've sort of kind of gotten working with it, but I'm definitely not a Cisco router person. So now let's get into the cool part, you know, what you can do with Asterisk. This is getting fun. And by the way, if you're watching on TV in the hotel, don't change the channel. We've got a special thing coming up for you. Asterisk Gateway Interface. You want to talk about that one?
Can you tell that we're only experts on certain subjects? Yes, tag team, exactly. AGI stands for Asterisk Gateway Interface. What it is an interface for adding functionality to Asterisk. Basically, it uses standard in and standard out, and it's very cross-language. You can use Perl, you can use C, you can use PHP, Lisp, TCL, and anything that uses standard in and standard out, you can use it. And basically, since Asterisk is the best thing since sliced bread, I find AGI is the best thing to sliced bread, because you can basically do anything you want with it, given enough time. Here's a simple AGI program. Wow. What it is basically this reads back your caller ID. I don't believe I actually set it up on this phone. I apologize. What it does is basically...
Wait, it's not on your Dundee network?
I don't know what the phone number is.
Oh, great.
This is what apparently Alexis Park saw fit, not to replace our DSL modem after it was broken. So, actually, a lot of my presentation of this part is with our computer at this point. Starting from here, basically what it is you start on the standard endpoint, and standard in and standard out, and basically what Asterisk uses is all kinds of different arrays, and what it does is it reads all the variables in and checks it all. It checks it to make sure 200 stands for it's okay, 510 stands for that. We're not sure about this one, and I think 510 means that there's a problem, but I set this one up to just keep on going. Who cares? Basically, what happens is after it reads all the variables in and makes sure they're okay, what it does is it basically screens a file that says your caller ID is, and it says you read back your caller ID. So, here's how it works. You have a connection up here, basically me dialing up the phone and dialing my API. What it says is feeds back a ton of variables, but the one we're really interested in. interested in is AGI caller ID, and it says 311-555-2368. And then it says, after it's done feeding all the variables, it says 200 result zero. It means I'm done. What do you want me to do? It says, okay, stream file, you know, AGI, caller, your caller ID is. Which comes after me is your caller ID is. Then it says, okay, I'm done. What do you want me to do? It says, okay, save digits, 311-555-2368. Now, save digits is a AGI command that asterisk understands. And it shows, you know, it says 311. Then it says, 200 result zero. Okay, I'm done. And at which point it says, hang up. I'm done. Leave me alone. Disconnects me, sends back, you know, 200 result zero. I'm done now. It hangs up. Yes, exactly what it is. Caller ID readback. ANAC. Now, that's a lot of work to do in a 20-line script. There's someone who came out called Asterisk AGI, which is a Perl module for Asterisk and writing AGI scripts. Simplifies a lot of AGI programming. Essentially, it takes out a lot of the dirty work, and I think someone said, well, it's doing the work that you don't have to. Allows the AGI to be controlled via a simple object interface in Perl. The problem is that it's rather old and very not well maintained. I subscribed to the mailing list, I'll say about 6 months ago, and it's been dead silent until about 2 months ago when someone said, is this mailing list still active? At which point everyone came out of the woodwork. And I think it's died down now, but maybe I should send out another thing, or maybe a few people should sign up to it and send you it yourselves. What it is allows AGI to easily integrate with Perl, which easily integrates with almost anything in the known universe. And it's available at asterisk.newinter.net. Asterisk dot newinter was a very strange German word for like the longest time until I said, oh, okay. Here's the same program. As you can tell, it's a lot easier. I think we've condensed it down at least 100% to about 10 lines or so. But it says, you know, use asterisk API, use this module. It reads in, you know, starts up a new object called AGI. And what it is just, you know, that entire, you know, 10-line thing, like check the variables, make sure they're okay, does it all automatically. And the other feature that the other one had is if you did not check whether or not the person had a caller ID in the first place. So you basically, if you didn't have a caller ID, you would get a found file saying, your caller ID is, and then it would hang up. Or what this one does is it checks to see if the caller ID is there, at which point it says something. So, you know, what this would do if you didn't set a caller ID would just hang up on you. And as I say, wow, that is easier. There's lots of ways to interact with your script. One of the input things is a touch tone. Basic, ubiquitous, everyone knows how to use it, including your mom. However, you know, it's very limited on what you can do with it. For example, you have to basically assign a function to each team, or, you know, you can only basically transcribe numbers. VXML, it's extensible. When VXML is extended to voice XML, it's basically a XML that allows for scripting with voice interaction. Extensible, however, the problem with Asterisk is that it has no native support. I really want to play with this. There is a relatively new open source program called SynXVBX, which says it has VXML capabilities. However, I spent about 2 weeks trying to get this compile after they released it, and I eventually just gave up in frustration. There's also commercial offerings. For example, Microsoft has a VXML program. I haven't touched it yet. I really don't want to. However, there's like at least two or three commercial ones that I know of that are available for a pretty penny, of course. So, you know, VXML is still, you know, you need to develop a lot. Interacting with your script output, there's two main programs. One's called Festival. And data support with an asterisk. It's free, however, it sounds like crap. My computer was an old Scottish guy that's been going back to for about 50 years.
Think back to that text to speech program you played with in like 1987.
Here it is. Well, that's what it is. It's just a lot worse. The other program is called Sepstral. It's available on Sepstral.com. It's a commercial offering, however, I really love it. It's been easily integrated. It's got like 10 lines of code in every Perl script, and recently they've also announced that they're starting to partner with Asterisk, so there is native support in the Asterisk VBX. So no one should ever have to use Sepstral again, provided, of course, they're willing to pay for it.
free version of Sepstral, but the resulting sound file, I think every fifth or tenth word or something goes, please register me.
Yeah, and it is free for download, like you said, and you can make sure, if you ever have, like, you know, don't want to make sure that it works with your program, you can set it up, and, you know, you just have to deal with that, please register me every 10 words or something. The other thing for output is recordings. You can do it yourself. It's free. The other person is Allison Smith, who she's kind of the official support for Asterisk. It's for pay, and she has lots of canned sayings available on the internet.
Asterisk also comes with a whole ton of sayings. You know, she says all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing, some of the things she will say for pay. yes, you are thinking what you are thinking, and you're probably right.
A friend of mine actually just wanted to test her, and so he sent her increasingly offensive scripts, and I think he finally found her limit after, a long time. Well, maybe she'll read Richard Nixon's Social Security number, I don't know.
We also have a friend who sent a voice script who wanted her to do the intro. Doug, are you here? And basically, we have a sound file for saying, okay, we want to show you.
I thought you set that up. Oh, you didn't know. I'm not a weather pattern. My name is Strong. I'll show you my phone voice in a second.
And basically, you hired her to say, hello, news. Welcome to this new group that we have. And I called it up one day, and I hear Alex saying, hello, news. And it was kind of disturbing. Also, apparently Strong decided to see fit to advertise himself in here. Strong, the voice of Jeff Con by phone, more on that later, it also is available for, you know, voice recordings, and if you can support your local voices. Yes. And now a demonstration by Strong Carlson that we actually do, because it's not actually set up by me.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Jeff Con by phone. Script kitty tested, blamer approved. To hear what's coming up in the next hour, press 1. To search for an event, press 2. To leave feedback to the DEF CON by phone team, press 0. And so on. If any of you want to write down silly things on slips of paper and leave them here, I'll read them for you.
He has less morals than Allison Smith. Here's a slightly more complex script. This actually uses input and output. Basically, what it is I've done these three ways of doing it. And what it is you know, you can use AGI, and basically what I said is forever, it waits for you to enter a file, waits for you to enter a digit, at which point it says, you know, please enter a digit, and just keep on repeating and repeating and repeating. And what it says is after you enter a digit, it waits for 5 seconds, and if you enter one, it says, you know, it has my voice on it. If you enter 2, it has several voice on it. Enter 3, it has Allison's voice. This was really cool. I'm terribly sorry. Intermission!
Okay, so we have some cool swag to give away.
Digium has seen fit to give us gobs of stuff. Apparently, Strom has become very friendly with Mark Spencer, and he sent us...
Very friendly. So Digium sent us a whole box of really cool stuff. There is these little CDs with asterisk on them, and they're in the shape of an asterisk. There's asterisk stickers. Yes, if you put the sticker on your car, more people will want you. I also have FINRAP stickers and oldschoolfreak.com stickers.
Two very kick-ass sites, in my opinion. You can see them on the different forums almost every day. Kind of a boring job.
That's where we hang out. Asterisk t-shirts. Just go to people who are with the phones. So I need 4 volunteers who want to come up here and dial phones. Actually, no. Let's have them answer questions.
Okay.
Name a pre-divestiture Bell operating company. Pre-divestiture, not 9X. Pre-divestiture? Pre-divestiture. Operating company. GTE was not a Bell company. Okay, how about this?
I'm taking over now. Name a post-divestiture 9X regional Bell operating company. For example, someone already said it. Raise your hands, people. You.
Come up.
You in the back. Yes, come on up. You. Yes, come on up. Yes. Sure, why not? You're my friend.
All right.
Come on up.
So, let me mind this thing out the way. Each of you sit in front of a telephone. So, let me prop up this list in front of you here. This is a touchtone speed dialing contest, and for some of you who were in the game area earlier, we kind of did this just to work the bugs out of it. So, basically, I have a list of numbers here that I programmed into my PBX, and the person who dials these numbers the fastest and most accurately will bring my desk phone here and get a prize. So, let me set this list up here. Yeah, I'll explain the rules in just a second. Unfortunately, these don't do pulse dialing. Otherwise, it would do a switch hook tapping competition. Can you all read that? Big pardon? Sir, can you read that? Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to pick up a phone. Each phone is dial 1 plus the area code plus the number. After 1 second, if you dial correctly, you'll hear another dial tone, dial the next number, and so on and so on. If you misdial a digit, say you dial 2 instead of 1, you'll get a reorder tone after 1 second, at which point you will want to dial the number again. If you skip a digit, you'll hear nothing after 1 second. You may want to press a couple digits until you get a reorder. If you get a reorder that you can't break by dialing, if you get the reorder where you can redial the number, There's rules. If you get the reorder that does not go away when you start dialing digits, you screwed up and you have to hang up and start at the beginning again. So, ready, set, go. Pardon?
Hello, pardon?
He wins. The guy in the Quest shirt. What size t-shirt do you wear, sir? What size t-shirt do you wear? Large? Okay. He gets to leave. We need one more contestant. The guy in the Bell shirt. You want to switch phones, Natus? Okay.
We like to get preferential treatment.
So, you understand the rules, sir? Okay. On your mark. Don't pick up the handset for a second. You can touch the handset. 1 plus the area code plus the number, yes. On your mark, get set, dial.
Good news, everybody. developers, hidden in the depths of an extensions.com. You know, Natas, you're really starting to make me sad that I know you.
Put his own call on hold.
That's what it was.
Hey! Yeah, let's do some Bindrev and Old School Free Seekers too. Yeah. One of you still got a call on hold.
For those of you who don't know.
And what size t-shirt do you wear? XL.
No, I actually thought it was kicked off for a second.
Let's do this. Let me plug the telephone in so we can hear the winner.
What a good idea.
Yes. I think we'll do one more, then we have to get on with the presentation. Let's make this fair. Let's clear this out and have four all new people. If you guys who competed, come up to me after the show. You'll get swag. You're welcome.
Okay, new rule: don't flash so fast that you put a call on hold.
Yes.
Word of warning. Wow,
okay.
You actually gave him the money. Good for you.
Sweet.
Give that guy in the gray hat a round of applause. Okay, for future reference, all new money should just be coming straight to us.
There we go. Okay, so, let's get some volunteers. How about this guy?
Okay, here about a question. What is required? You're okay, because you already made up. You made some funny comments. What is required for Dungy to be in a released version of Asterisk?
I heard a patch. Was that?
Yeah. Yep.
Come
up. What sounds more ghastly than you can possibly imagine in codec one? You. Yes.
Yes.
You.
Okay. We have one more.
Oh, come on up. Yeah. You're cute.
I thought that was my line, Ratchet. Okay, do you guys understand the rules from last time, or do I need to repeat them? Okay, yes. Okay, and now you're able to hear the caller. So, on your mark, get set, dial. Oh, we should play the touch tone music if it wouldn't screw up the touch tone thing.
Well, your iPod is also next to it.
Yes.
If you want free stuff, don't leave now. We have various telephonic pieces of equipment from Strong's collection and more asterisk flags after the show.
Princess Rotary?
It's little and lovely, but however, it does not light because it's a consumer sale model made up for support Rotary.
Digi and Zaptel cards do support Rotary phones. In fact, you can navigate IVR menus with Rotary phones with a Zaptel card.
However, the only thing that does support Rotary dial are the cards and the
I think the EXA supports rotary dialing. I'm not sure.
It does.
It does? Okay, cool. So, yeah, this thing does support it. Unfortunately, no. This one actually belongs to Mark Spencer, and I have to give it back to him.
We were thinking about auctioning it off, but we decided against it. Anyway, I found my two complex, my slightly more complex script in my caller ID script. So here we go. This is the caller ID one.
Sounds like it's going to your AIS script.
311-454-8105.
I actually replaced all the default sounds with Jane Barbie, who did a lot of the Bell system announcements back in the 1960s, because I really like her voice. And here's the slightly more complex script. I'm going to adore the peanut gallery.
Enter your option now.
One.
Enter your option now. Black Ratchet says, asterisk is fun. Enter your option now. Sepstral says,
no, baby, give it to me. Yes, yes, that's it.
Enter your option now.
And option three.
Enter your option. Allison Smith says,
have a news.
Enter your option now. Enter your... Allison Smith says,
hello, news.
Enter...
This was from this my friend's sound file. I just sort of ripped it off from him. With his permission, of course. Thank you, Doug, wherever you may be, if you're ever watching this.
All right, let's move on.
Cool applications. What the hell can I do with this thing? One of the cool things that I really originally turned me on to ask was caller ID spoofing, as in you can send your caller ID to whatever you want. Asterisk allows you to send your phone call ID, much like a primary radio service, such as 51 or an ISDN line. Certain public service telephone network providers will allow you to set your call and party number to your phone on your SSM initial
address message.
Yeah, I always forget it's an address message. Roughly you send your SSM IAM to this number as well, along with your caller ID. That's why I gave that caveat, which again is a little more truthful, but not always. Most switches will blindingly accept this information. The 5DSS, which is something made by Lucent and before that Western Electric, does caller ID. DMS-100, which is made by Nortel, also does caller ID. And GTD5VAX, which is a switch made by Verizon, was made by AT&T, now owned by Verizon. There's a lot of limitations.
I think what happened was made by Automatic Electric Group, which was GTE's manufacturing company, and but it's now been discontinued as far as I know.
It has been.
And ironically, Automatic Electric is now part of this. But anyway, you only find GTD5s typically in former GTE territory and some independent telephone company territories.
However, in the GTD5, finally accepts caller ID with me. My friend Doug once again accidentally decided to test out his caller ID spoofing one day to his home phone, which was on a GTD5 at that time. And it came back as test, and he called me up. So he explained to me that GTD5 now.
It's the only reason I would ever want to live in GTE territory.
There are about like 2 or 3 switches that we know of that do not accept smooth caller ID, and these are individual switches. There is one in Boston, I'm not sure where it is, and there's a couple of other very important ones in the United States, and these just really ignore and accept caller ID. Caller ID and GPS switching issues, because you can lose your friends. I mean, how many times have you received a call from Hosts and Overjay? You can activate your neighbor's credit card. A lot of companies will blindly accept CPN as your real deal. This is, it has to be what you're calling from, right? No, you can set that to whatever you want. I can activate it many times, but, something that uses CPN for activation via my voice line. I just have to keep my phone number to it. Dark calls, if you don't like. This is slightly more complex and very hard to say, kind of harder to pull off. Requires certain phone equipment to be badly misconfigured, obviously. The easiest way to do this, what we found, is a certain company's calling card. I'm not going to say who. Figure it out on your own. Owen Harrison has voicemail. For example, up until T-Mobile upgraded their voicemail equipment, you could call 805 message, which was your voicemail access number, and just send any caller ID that you want, and any CPN that
let's get into the technical details of this later, because
okay.
We might be running out of time.
Do this on Sprint as well. Social engineering, right? Because, hey, you know, caller ID is always right, right? I guess so. Same caller ID meeting script. One was played by Nick84. He's on RootSecure.net. And not sure he did a lot of work with us. Here's KWM.
You can also, however, do caller ID spoofing most of the time with two lines in your extensions.com file and asterisk.
Yes, so these are correct and make important. Yeah, they're not here, I'll double find out. So I have caller ID spoofing set up.
But one of these things are kind of running short on time, yeah.
It works. Really. Basically, okay.
Back spoofing is, it's a, based on caller ID spoofing, it's a relatively new concept, it's something that I think you're not familiar with, but what it is basically, you dial your own number, spoofing caller ID to your own number of some number you want to find out more about, and then it will, the telephone company will send you whatever name is associated with that number. Yeah, it depends on what database your RBAC is using, but for the most part, it's fairly easy. I think I've got a photograph of me doing back spoofing. Oh, no, how it works is you call ID yourself, your local exchange carrier looks up, it's called the number in its database, and then it just like, sends that name to your station equipment. You can talk, trying to jump ahead. It allows you to, if you're doing scanning, you can prioritize, you know, the more interesting phone numbers. Here are some real caller ID name, things we got, Punkling, Money, Verizon Information, CIA, and Booze. It's a really, really cheap reverse lookup, and you can maybe figure out some of your cell phone numbers. Why are you so obsessed with these people?
I'm straight.
That's it.
I love you, Strong.
I love you too, Ratchet. Here's an example of me back spoofing.
You need your credit card, because this time it didn't work and go through. Can you give it to us, please?
Super Caller ID is something that I hacked up in about 25 minutes. It extrapolates tons of useless info from a telephone number. It does name and address from whitepages.com, and it does switch information from the Telcordia local exchange we provide. In my office, it runs on its own dedicated Wise 150 terminal, but if you've got some screen or some window you want to run in, you can do that too. There's a version of that NASA site, oldschoolfreak.com, that doesn't use the LURG, that just grabs data from the web. Here's a photo of me using Super Caller ID spoofing from Gladstone's Four Fish Restaurant at Pacific Palisades to my own phone number. See? Yes. Wow, people are making their own versions for their own country. Someone sent NASA a copy from Australia that works in Australia. So, sweet stuff. So you can see here, it does the number, the address that's listed in the web page. This is the calling party name that shows up from the phone company. And here is all the details on the switch it served out, like homing information, prefixes, where the switch is, what type of switch it is, GTPIAS, for example.
Useless for anybody but phone freaks.
Yes, I'm sure most half of you have no clue what this stuff is. With what?
No, it does not.
Entirely. But it comes close. Local number portability is a whole number other kind of words. You can rig review podcasts. Yeah, why don't you explain this?
What radio stations have, they have a hunt group for their lines. Essentially what it does is you call one number and it hunts for a free line on a bunch of lines they have. So for example, you call, 555-8000, and in reality it searches, 8001, 8002, 8003 for a non-busy line. Back in the day, crackers, what they would do is they would dig out the 555-8000 line, and they would dial in 8001, 8002, 8003, get directly into the switch. So they win, you don't, and, they do. I believe Dark Dante, a.k.a. Kevin Paulson, uses that to win a Porsche. I'm not 100% sure on that. I can never find that. And what happens is after the response is over, they win, you lose, they re-enable the line. Just to steal your favor, I didn't actually come up with this concept. Now, it's not here.
I think our provider for DEFCON by phone claimed that we can have up probably over 600 calls going up simultaneously.
We'll certainly have the information later. runs a T1 supports 24 simultaneous calls, and a GS3 radio station up to 100, and now sometimes around 20 lines at most on the hunt group, and what happens if you're suddenly inundated with 300 calls? It will guarantee you a win, but it will definitely increase your chances. How it works. Basically, here I am sitting on an entirely new conference bridge. And what it basically does is generate numerous call files. So what call files are, you tell Asterisk to generate a call connected to a certain extension. So I really have to generate a bunch of simultaneous call files to connect to a certain radio station. So basically what happens, call file 1, sorry, I'm call number 2, call file 2, sorry, call number 3, call number 3, sorry, or caller ID number 3. And now I've had it set up to only do 3 simultaneous outbound calls. Obviously, you can do more. Generate call file number 4, so it actually stuck in another caller number 5, caller number 6, caller number 7. We're looking at caller number 9, and all of a sudden, poof, on caller number 9, so I plug their phone lines, and I win. There's still some problems. I'm actually looking into this. After you win, the calls that are currently in the queue after you fill the script will still connect. So, for example, hey, oh my god, I won, and I say yes, and all of a sudden the caller, radio station guy number 2 picks up another line and says, oh, sorry, you lose, we already have a winner. I'm sure radio station guy number 1 is going to be highly confused. There's no real easy way to fix this. That's a bit of a lie. I actually found something out this week that may solve this problem, but I'm not going to talk about it again. Other possible uses, new telephone voting conferences. The original, what I actually thought...
Yeah, American Idol or some... If you watch TV, I don't watch TV anymore. One of those things.
My fiance, she likes American Idol. And, I said, oh, geez, what happens if I plug the voting 9 for the worst guy that was ever this new?
If you do that and they get a record contract, radio will get about 1.1% worse.
If I plug their voting line, their 800 number is going to be free to me. However, I think my voting drive will be very disappointing to me. I know, I can hopefully tip the scale some favor. Unfortunately, with American Idol, there's billions upon billions of people we don't know of, that call this. So, you could possibly do this on a more local level. For example, one of your news stations, what do you think about this issue? All our voting lines. Another interesting thing is a telephone denial service. What happens if you have 20 inbound lines and you're flooded with 300 phone calls? Oops. The other idea was, call a PBS, tell them to knock off their blitz ring. I want to get back to Red Dwarf. Along with the telephone denial service, you get busy outlines, and also racking up 800 number charges. For example, service providers, charge you per minute on your 800 number. What happens if you connect 100 simultaneous calls for 1 minute? That's about $20 or so.
What's your NMAP by phone number? Let's just do this.
Oh, here it is.
On your exchange, right?
Yes. Was it 5?
Enter the IP address you wish to scan. Bill Ratchet, you know how to push my buttons. Please wait. Host sound with 17 ports open. Echo on port 7. Discard on port 9. Daytime on port 13. Torch on port 17. Curtain on port 19. SMTP on port 25. Name server on port 42. Domain on port 53. HTTP on port 80. And it...
Anyway, it would go through all this SMTP ports. You get the idea. If you listen to BinRev Radio on radio.binrev.com, I actually did a demonstration of this about 3-4 weeks ago. Episode 100, you can listen to it. Once it is a simple script that allows you to pull scan from your phone, you can scan a computer from any payphone in the world. Impress your friend, phone Microsoft.com while driving to work. And really, it's almost entirely useless except for the coolness factor by impressing your friends. Your own personal assistant, you can read your email over the phone. Can't detect messages yet. Not as cool as Wildfire 1 with your commercial offerings. Actually, I don't think Wildfire 2 anymore. I just found that out during the convention. I was very sad.
on my phone.
Wow.
What the hell's wrong with the rest of you?
Yes. Why haven't the rest of you? But no, I'm surprised we actually can use it. You guys think it sucks as much as we think it sucks. Do you guys really like it?
We'll talk about that later.
Sweet. Okay, cool. We've had, like, major headache because of this. This is not perfect.
But I missed all the shows on Friday to fixing bugs and dealing with the Intoki.
Yeah, it's been a major headache. What it is, you know, last year I came up with this. There's this massive DEF CON schedule. First off, you can't memorize anything. You know, secondly, the times and location change. And, you know, if you lose your paper schedule, you don't have a hand, you don't remember off the top of your head with appreciation Friday, Saturday, 2 or 4 p.m., and then you realize later on, shoot, I missed this presentation. And, of course, the official print schedule, as you know, is, like, already out of date 3 weeks before the convention. So, and besides, it's going to be fine. You want to schlep around this dead tree thing anymore. So, solution, DEFCON by phone. What it is, for those of you who haven't used it, it allows you to dial up and search the DEFCON schedule. You can find out what's coming up for the next hour, and you can set up an account and have it call you back before talk to your interview to see what's going to happen. And theoretically, in principle at least, it will call you back if the talks are rescheduled for the other account. So, it allows you to basically program in what you want to do. In fact, one of the opening phrases for DEFCON by phone is, DEFCON by phone. It stays sober, so you don't have to.
All him, he thought of all the phrases except for like one or two.
Yeah. After recording everything, I got really crazy and recorded a whole bunch of crazy introductory phrases to it. It'll be so... Basically, you have no idea how really weird it is to receive phone calls from recordings of yourself. It still freaks me out. So there's a search field that anyone calls, there's a reminder, and again, if you're registered, you can be more accepted and call you back. How does it work? There's a MySQL database on this Asterisk group server we have in Polo, and there's a whole bunch of audio clips. And pretty much, I spent a week in front of my computer dictating the entire text of the schedule into the system. And let me tell you, my jaw was about ready to fall off at the end of the day. But, it's, I'll get into that, but you know, pretty much, there's an API script that handles user registration, searching and reminders, and it checks every 10 seconds to see if there's a call that's supposed to go out and send those calls out. And it's limited only by our provider. And there's a web interface internally that controls the addition of events and changing the times of communication and so on. Should we do a demo? Should we do a quick demo?
To hear a listing of shows that are coming up in the next hour, press 1.
We're going to search for,
an event, press 2. To search for a show by title, press 1. To search by presentation, please enter up to the first 5 letters of the title of the show you'd like to see, followed by the pound sign. Presentation ID 56. Be your own telephone company, with asterisk. Presented by Strom Carlson and Black Ratchet in Parthenon 3 and 4, starting at...
Saturday, July 30th, 2005, at 7 o'clock p.m.
Running for 110 minutes. To hear more about this event, press 1.
You're all
to
here, you
the
know
next
about
event,
it.
Press 2.
If you hear more about the event, it reads you back the entire description of the talk as printed in the schedule.
Shouts to Strom.
If any of you want to hire me for your voiceovers, please come see me. I'll give you my contact information.
But don't give him 48 pages of show description, please, for his sanity.
No, I think I can handle that by being paid. What I can get for free, it was cheaper than buying that damn sexual license. No problem? Dictating the whole schedule is a pain in the ass. I didn't realize how long it would take to dictate the whole thing in, and we were, like, literally rushing. I think most of you were recorded, like, less than a week ago. Our each tier termination provider decided to start having each jitter issues last week. There were so many problems. We couldn't nail up all calls at the same time. And we had jitter problems. We had to switch to SIP. And it's really difficult to keep our schedule in sync with DEFCON's schedule. We went and we asked them, please, for the love of God, give us all your schedule updates so we can inform our users and everyone who calls in about the changes. I gave them my phone number, I gave them my email address, and I have their feet out of them the entire convention.
And also, we came up to them and said, hey, our schedule really sucks now because you guys have changed everything. Is there some place we can go to get updates? And they, oh, go to updates.defcon.org. So I was like, okay, I'll, you know, sit down, fix everything. Not a single schedule change on there. I was, ugh. It's caused me nightmares. I'm going to have nightmares for years about this.
We spent all of Monday, or all of Friday, trying to deal with the fact that they pushed the entire track to back an hour. But we hadn't anticipated that. I'm sorry? What we should do next year is we're probably going to set up something where the schedule is actually thrown together in our system. And so that's the idea I had. The schedule's thrown together in our system, so we automatically know about it and have everything centralized.
And as a disclaimer, we all love DefCon. We're not trying to piss anyone off, but you know, this is what happens.
When we get calling reminders, there's no way to detect whether users are whether we get their voicemail. So if they don't pick up the phone, they don't get the reminder. Some users are brain deficient and forget their PIN. And I think we got a call from somebody.
You know who you are.
FreakDactor.com will be back next year, and next year we guarantee you it will be more accurate.
Yes, the problem with Track 2 is that, you know, they said, oh, move everything up an hour. Okay, that's fine. I updated the schedule. And they said, okay, let's go make up time during the day so everything hopefully is on schedule by the end. I cried when I found that out. There was no way to do that.
I want to get to Q&A because I'm sure there are a lot of you who have Q&A. So pretty much, the CDM cards kind of flake out. There are problems because Asterisk is GPL, but also contributed to Asterisk is owned by Digium. Digium has a commercial version too. There are termination issues, again, the proper call progression. Most providers don't have anywhere near 99.5 of reliability. Some providers lose your registration. There are bugs in the protocol implementations, like we have DEF CON by phone. And finally, Q&A. So, if you want to ask a question, there is a telephone there. Queue up in front of the telephone. And for those of you watching on TV, call the following number, area code 213-415-1047, and you will be in the Q&A queue. Do not call this number if you are sitting here in the room. If you see someone who is on their phone and calling the number and holding and asking a question, grab their phone and throw it to me, and we won't give it back to them. Will you please pick up and dial 8110?
No,
we can't. Oh, shoot. No, sorry. I know what that is. Please hang up that phone.
Batman.
Hello.
I have a question. The coding...
Okay, please, everyone calm down. We're trying to get as many questions as possible.
The codecs that were demonstrated earlier using a rock and roll song with a lot of bass and a yelling guy and a very wide frequency bandwidth. The bandwidth frequency of that music, like, aren't those codecs optimized for speech only?
They're optimized for speech, but the way I see it, if you torture test the codec, you see what they really sound like under all circumstances. Because as a, you know, even all, not all speech is perfect. So if you torture test the codec, you get you get a clearer picture of what it really sounds like. Yeah, it's a good test. I know it's not designed for music, but there is music on hold. So
what happens when you're driving in your car and you have tons of background noise? You're trying to use one of these.
Same thing. Okay.
I think that's a good point. Like, if I'm taking your
thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's see if anyone's calling in from the TV.
Agent logged in.
Hello? Hello?
Prank call!
Let's hang up and get the next person in line.
Agent logged in.
This is the default Asterisk music.
No one's calling in. Wow.
Wow. Come on, people at home.
If you're watching on TV, call. Okay, let's get you.
Domino's
pizza?
Ask your question.
Okay, two questions, actually. One, for all the caller ID spoofing stuff you guys are talking about, do you need a DS1 connectivity to DSPN?
No, I've got it running on my DSL connection.
Okay, so just with the VoIP providers?
Yeah, your standard VoIP call, even with MuLaw, only requires 80 kilobits a second of bandwidth plus overhead. So if you've got more than 80 kilobits per second connection in both directions, you're fine.
Okay. Never mind. I need to manage. The other question I had is, what is the bigger frequency of some of these devices up here? How many phones do you plug in with?
You can generally about the same as a phone company, between 3 and 5 telephone sets.
Run, Forrest, run!
Isn't the scavenger hunt over yet?
No.
There's a giant bee problem at DEF CON this year.
Thank you.
Cool, thanks.
Agent logged in.
We're really hoping someone's calling in.
Hello, you're with Asterisk.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey!
There's a little delay.
Okay.
What's your question, sir?
Question on the DEFCON card. Are those the only ones that are supported?
For interfacing your phones with Asterisk?
Yeah.
No, they're not the only ones supported. I believe they're one of them.
Yeah. No, they're not the only ones supported. I don't know which one it is. I think it's something called VoiceTel that uses the same hardware. It was just an older version of it. It's supported, it works, but good luck getting it working. So
are those PCI cards?
Yes, they're PCI, and I believe there's also one that's ISA for you real people.
But you're running on
okay.
Asterisk off your laptop, right?
Yes. This is actually on the desktop of my phone server, but we're going to move on to the next question. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's get the next question from the real person.
Hello.
Hello, party.
Hey, could you address for a second the issues of security in terms of Asterisk as it has as it compares with regular phones?
Ah. Yes, for the most part, Asterisk is about as secure as a regular telephone, although the new version of the EECS protocol now does encryption. I haven't played with it yet. It's only about 2 weeks old. But there is now encryption built into the CBS head version of the EECS protocol.
Cool. Thanks.
Let's take a call from...
Agent logged in.
Hello? Hello?
What's up with all you people?
Agent logged in.
Another fun thing about the payphones out in the lobby is that they do not transmit a payphone code, so therefore you can actually use DEF CON by phone from them. All payphones were banned because we don't feel like being charged a fee. However, thanks to GoldenTel, whoever supports them, they have a very incorrect standard on their payphones, and they transmit real payphones.
Hello, caller.
Dude, look, it's a bug! Here.
Grab his phone.
Books.
This one is apparently apparently like 570-something pages. Look for the book with the starfish on the cover. And secondly, sure, I'm broke. I'll accept the money. You won't pay me to set it up for you.
All right. Thanks.
Sweet. We'll take one more question from the call-in line. One more question from here, and then we got to pack up.
We'll be out back and, you know, answering questions. Just track it down.
Whoops.
Agent logged in.
Call in somebody from a hello party.
Hello.
Hello.
How many people can be on this line at once?
Up to 4 people can be in the queue at any given time.
And how does it figure out that you're the administrator?
Because we're dialing our internal DundeeNet number.
We got skills, yo.
Yeah. Actually, you can set a password for this, but for convenience, since none of you from the outside world can dial on our Dundee plan, we figured it would just be easier if we could just answer the question instead of getting to the password thing.
Yes, essentially this is
this
allows
cool.
you to set up your own phone sets on the password.
Yes. Thank you much. Good afternoon. What are you wearing? I'm wearing... I've got this really, really nice butt set.
Have you played with any of the 802.11b voice-over wireless phones?
I haven't played with any of the 802.11b voice phones. There are phones that'll act like cordless phones, except they'll talk to your Wi-Fi network. See, I wasn't kidding when I told you I had a really nice butt set. 7920. Okay, so let's go 7920. If you go to the voip-info.org wiki, they have information on all of this cool stuff. I haven't played with the Wi-Fi phone, so. Yeah, you can do voice software on PDAs, too.
Yes, I set that up for my own thing. I have a nice Bluetooth headset. My Wi-Fi hotspot, it comes right in. And we've got to go wrap this up. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to send out shouts to binrev.com. You can find Strom and I there on forums.binrev.com. Anything else? Oldschoolfreak.com.
Stickers.
We have
yeah.
stickers that we can give people. Just follow us out. We'll talk your questions and do whatever.
Hang on just a second. You can also, before you go, if you have any questions and you can't get to us directly, my telephone number is on my website, so call me up there. Further reading resources on the slideshow on your CD. Thank you for coming, everybody.